Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair for our weekly time together. Quarters for muster are going to be held shortly, and I have a very interesting, as always, do I have an interesting program for you. I have a very interesting program for us together today. And I, as always, start off with my greetings to all of Captain Joe's people all over the world, from Singapore on one side of the world to the Kingdom of Sweden and to its capital, Stockholm, on the other side of the world, to all of the ships at sea and the aircraft in the air and all of the people who are out there doing their Father's business, especially rescuing those who are in need of rescue. The binnacle list this week continues to improve as we move farther and farther away from the difficulties and the challenges of the virus. And I am heartened by that, and yet I have to report that there are several new entries in my Coast Guard family, and for them, as for all of people, all of Captain Joe's people who are on the binnacle list, my concern about you is total, and it is my wish and my desire and my command from the captain's chair that you follow the instructions of your medical professional so that you get off the binnacle list in the right way and return to full duty. So I'm going to start the regular part of the broadcast by saying that I have a lovely friend sitting right across from me at the Gene Bosch studio on Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the FM band and streaming live all over the world on voiceofvashon.org. Julia Anderson, whose name de plume is Julia Harriet, and I'm going to ask her about that, is a friend from a number of years ago when she and her family applied to become caretakers out at Point Robinson. And I was part of the interview group that interviewed Julia and Jake and Doc and Maribel, the two children. And what was particularly striking to me was what a lovely family it was. And I always like to have families, and I like to have children out there because it's a wonderful experience for them. And it just warms the cockles of this sea captain's black heart to have children out there and to be able to spend some time with them. We'll talk a little bit more about Maribel in particular because she and I did a program together that you can see on Voice of Vashon. So, Julia, it is always a pleasure to see you and to spend some time with you. But there was a hiatus in the contact between the two of us for a while. And so let's start by you telling us a little bit about how it was that we came to be friends in the first place. And then we're going to talk about, because the book this week is your book, and it is called, what is it called there?
It's called Under Construction.
Under Construction.
Yes.
Right. That was sort of a tricky thing on my part to lead you into that. Actually, I needed to have you hold it up in front of me so I could see it.
With pleasure.
So, yes. So, all right, Julia. So, you now take it for a few minutes and tell us about the impact that living out at Point Robinson had on you and your family, and then what caused you to write Under Construction. And as part of that explanation, would you also talk briefly about the name that you chose to be your author name, which is different from the one that I know and love you by. Carry on.
Absolutely. First, I want to thank you, Captain Joe, for having me. And it's such a pleasure to be here with all your listeners and friends around the world. Gosh, you know, I just have so much appreciation in my heart for you, Captain, because I had a dream, and my dream was to get back to my hometown here on the island on Vashon. I grew up here, and having two small children at the time, I was living down in Portland, Oregon, yet I really wanted to return. And one night, I was online Googling jobs on Vashon, and the only job that came up was the caretaker position at the lighthouse. And I looked at it, and I thought, wow, because I had been at Point Robinson and down to the lighthouse many times in growing up here. What an opportunity this could be. And so I applied without at the time telling anyone, because I thought, well, why not? Why not, you know, jump in and see what happens? And quickly there was a reply saying, can you come to Vashon? Can you meet Captain Joe and see how this might fit for you and your family? And I remember telling my husband at the time, when you woke up, hey, I did something a little crazy, and I applied for this position, and we need to go to Vashon. And Jake looked at me and took a sip of coffee, and he's like, yeah, let's do it. We both really saw what an opportunity it was, because we both love history. We both value community. We wanted this for our kids. And we drove up from Portland on a relatively stormy day and had the pleasure of meeting you. And you looked at us and we looked at you, and you know, we put all of our hope in your hands, and you saw the opportunity in us with Mirabelle and Docton and their, you know, wide eyes and excitement to be at the beach and to see a lighthouse and to be involved. And that's really where our journey began. And it was a magical time that my children will always look back on, and including myself, as, wow, you know, Mirabelle had the opportunity to do the lighthouse tours with you, which, you know, she still reflects upon. And, you know, Docton just has so many fun memories of, you know, falling around on the driftwood logs. And, and yeah, what a formative experience for my children. So that's where we began, you know. And I think one of the things that I learned in this moment of taking a giant leap was that the power of saying yes. Now, you said yes to us, and we said yes to taking a pretty giant leap out of the city back on the island here, but it allowed me to really think about, what do I want in my life? And, you know, to kind of walk into your next question about the story that I recently shared in the world, my book Under Construction, it's really the story of saying yes, taking leaps at times, now well-calculated ones. You don't want to leap off into the deep end and not know how to swim, but calculated risks and leaps in the name of following our passions and our dreams. And, you know, without you, Captain Joe, I mean, I feel like that was the kind of impetus, the starter of where I went in my life, which was, what did I want? I wanted to be a builder, Joe. And let me say, I didn't have a background in construction. In fact, I would say I didn't have an aptitude for it, which is why I never really thought that I could build my own home. But that was what I wanted, was to build my own home on the island.
So one of the things that happened during the time that the four of you were living in our caretaker quarters was that somebody had the idea of recording a tour. And so we decided, because Mirabelle by this time had become my colleague in tour giving and was frequently with me. In fact, I think that she almost always, whenever I would come down to the light, she would always end up finding me and we would spend some time together. And so we did a recording of one of the tours. And there are a couple of truly charming vignettes that are in that recording. And one of my favorite pieces of it is that we tell the story about there being a ghost or not being a ghost in the lighthouse. There is no ghost in that lighthouse. But Mirabelle and I were told the story in this reenactment of whether or not there was a ghost. And then the producer created a ghost and shows it in the film clip.
Yes.
But my favorite little vignette is of Mirabelle and me sitting on the front porch of the caretaker's quarters at Point Robinson. And she and I are having a conversation about that and about other things. I think we got into it. I haven't seen it for a while, but it is just a lovely, lovely photograph of a gentleman of some years pontificating at a young lady who did not then have many years yet. It's a great scene. It's one of my favorite pictures in my whole picture book of memories. So, Julia, I have to thank you and Jake for the way that those children were and are being raised, because they are both just lovely, lovely people.
Thank you.
But that's not what happened after that. And so now we perforce must get into some things that are not as happy. I'm not going to take full credit for getting you started off well on the magical Isle of Vashon, but I am going to take some credit because Eric at the Park District and I did in fact pick you.
Yes.
And we picked you because we saw what lovely people you were, and we picked you because you had those children, and we wanted children there. So you never let us down in terms of your responsibilities and your relationship with the people that came to share with us Point Robinson. But then some things happened, and now we have to get to those things, because that's what your book is all about, and then that's what your second book is all about, and we need to talk about this one in particular. We will after we talk about that one. So lead us in, take my hand, and lead us into how Under Construction was written. Because dear listeners, Julia is going to tell you how you can acquire your own copy of Under Construction, and it is a book worth having. I happen to have one which is inscribed by the author. I hope it is inscribed to me by the author.
Absolutely it is.
Because the books that I have in my library, the ones that I treasure most, are written by friends and have been inscribed to me personally by those friends. So take my hand and lead us into what happened that yes. caused Under Construction to be written.
Absolutely. Well, you're right. We returned to the island, and in that time, you know, as life does, sometimes unexpectedly, sometimes you can see storms coming. But definitely I experienced for myself a significant storm. And it wasn't lost on me that I was living at the lighthouse at the time. But, you know, this was the year 2016 specifically. And my mom, who had been in a worthy battle with cancer, unfortunately, the tides turned and she lost that battle in early 2016. And that was very devastating for me, because my mom and I talked every single day because we just adored each other. She was my best friend. So it was a huge blow to me. And secondarily, you know, Jake and I, we, I think, are fabulous co-parents. And, you know, that's been our passion. But our marriage, you know, we just realized it wasn't the right fit. And it wasn't the best use, in a sense, of our lives, of what we should be doing. And so really what happened for me in this time, and what Under Construction refers to, is this concept of, wow, I was really experiencing what I would say in my adult life would be my first life's demo. And what I mean by that is, things had been trucking along, and then all of a sudden, you know, here I was without my mom, here I was without my partner, and it felt like my heart had been demoed. And
demoed meaning demolished.
Demolition. Yes.
Yes. Yes, in the construction sense.
Absolutely. Yeah, yes, thank you for that clarification. I use it, you know, avidly now because of being in construction. And so this is where I was referring to earlier about following my dreams and my dream to be a builder. Here I was in this huge life transition, trying to figure out what being a single parent would look like in the, financially. And I decided to leap and go from a profession in education. I'd been a decade-long teacher, both on island and all around the Northwest, to become an apprentice, a carpentry apprentice, because I truly wanted to build. And so my story really talks about how being under construction, how construction itself became a huge metaphor for rebuilding my life. And, you know, in that same year, unfortunately, I also went through a very traumatic event on island here where I was drugged in a local establishment and sexually assaulted. So it was kind of a trifecta of really challenging life events that I had to navigate and had to seek support through, all the while I started building and doing construction at first for others. And then I had the opportunity to begin constructing my own home.
So I know that, let's bring your dad in at this point, because
sure.
I know that when the when you and your family were living out at your light, at the light, that your dad was a frequent visitor.
Yes.
And I talked to him a number of times, and I know that he was and remains a big influence in your life, and in particular in the building part. So let's weave him into the fabric right now.
Absolutely. Yes. And so my dad, after my mom's passing, as a family, I'm an only child. And so we were all very close. And my parents were down in Salem, Oregon, at the time of my mom's passing, and that just didn't make sense. I wanted him close. He wanted to be close to the kids and I. And he got to the island, and he was living on a sailboat down in a little harbor here. But all the while, we have one of those father-daughter chats one evening about, well, what the heck are we going to do here, looking each other in the eye. And I was like, I want to be on the island. I want to figure this out, and I'd love to figure it out with you. And he looked at me and he's like, I've been thinking about this. He's like, what if we went in together and bought a piece of property here, you and your crew in construction, do the building, and I'll do the drawing, I'll do the design, because that was part of his background professionally. And we're like, let's go, basically. And as soon as we shook hands on that, that's exactly what happened. And we live together now, which is very special for my kids as well as I, in the sense of I've got to know my dad on a completely new level that I really cherish. And yeah, and if it wasn't for his great design, you know, we wouldn't have the amazing house that we have.
So now let's shift our attention to the book itself.
Sure.
You use the book as the rescue part of a search and rescue mission in your own life, to put it into my
yes.
into my life. And so talk to me and talk to the people all over the world who are listening, and I promise you they are listening all over the world, that talk to me about both why you decided to write the book. That's the first thing.
Sure.
Secondly, how it helped you to make that rescue part of the mission happen. And third, what you got out of it to get yourself into the next phase of your life.
Great.
So those are the three parts to a very complex question, which you get to answer in a very short period of time.
Well, I love a good challenge. So, and those are great questions. So essentially why I decided to share my story is because it was an important story in the sense of that I knew I wasn't alone. There are very few adults I know who are able to escape the reality of mortality and being a human in this world. And I knew that I had learned some things, as in our construction terms, we call it sharing tools from the toolbox. And through the process of rebuilding myself from experiencing trauma, as well as literally building my home, I had a lot of tools to share. And so it was what I felt both my privilege and my duty to share my story, because it was the same thing. I would share tools that anyone needed. This was a tool that I thought could help others. And so I love writing, and I went about it with support because that was really essential. As much as I love writing, I have a full-time job and kids. There's a lot of reasons why it'd be easy not to. But I also, as I said, felt that it was my duty to rise up. I had been held and had sought help that really transitioned me from being a survivor. I have told you this before, Captain Joe, I never felt a victim of any of the circumstances. That being said, I did need a lot of help, and I needed and I wanted to heal, especially to be the best person, but the best mom I could be. And so writing has been an amazing way of healing, and taking my story into the world and connecting with people through my story, because everyone has their own story and everyone has their own pain of how they've dealt with it. And by sharing, it opens up ways of healing and it expands love, which I think is one of the most exciting things you can do. And so that is what I did.
All right. So the name of the book, of course, is Under Construction. It's both a description of Julia's life and what she has done, or this part of her life up to now. And it's also a metaphor for the reconstruction or the construction of her own life after some pretty traumatic stuff. So, Julia, two questions connected, pragmatic questions. The first one is, how did you get it published? And that question comes from a listener who is a faithful and almost weekly listener, and I always try to answer questions that I know the answer to myself or hand them off to somebody who does. So this one I'm handing off to you. How did you get published?
Well, fortunately, like I said, I knew that I couldn't do it alone from the get-go, and so I was very curious about the process of self-publishing. Now, with a story this intimate, I had a lot of reservations about handing over the creative control to anyone, especially initially. So I did some research and I found a wonderful self-publishing kind of support company, I would say, out in the Midwest called Davis Creative. I would love to give them a plug because they've been incredible.
And indeed.
Yeah, and basically it's wonderful. So they take you in, and I worked with an incredible writing coach, Cheryl, who held me accountable, who helped me set goals and really structure my story. And then Davis Creative, Kathy, who I worked directly with, she really, you know, basically here I had the meat. She gave me the bones to put my story into so that it could successfully launch into the world, be seen, be purchased on Amazon. And so she was a catalyst in, you know, taking my story and packaging it appropriately.
So how can our listeners get it, and in what format can they get it?
Absolutely. So the easiest, quickest way is definitely on Amazon. If you, you know, do a search for Julia Harriet Under Construction, I'll pop right up. And there's the Kindle version. That's the ebook that you can actually read on several different formats of ebooks, and then as well as in paperback to be delivered.
Okay, so that one is the Amazon one.
Yes.
But you've got another book, and that's a lovely book called Altars of Healing by Julia Harriet. And this one can only be gotten directly from you.
That's
and
true.
I'm going to open the book at random, and I'm going to look at what the photograph is. So so this one is, I opened it up, and the page that I opened it up says, Love is Freedom. And it talks about building a personal altar. And it says, when your altar is complete, express gratitude. Altars represent all that is good in your life. Celebrate, say a blessing or a prayer. And whether you are of a particular religious conviction or not, that's pretty good advice, because what that means is that you are thinking outside your own particular internal confines.
Yes. Yes.
And so I want you to, and so this is a very small book in terms of physical size. It only has a few pages. In fact, it looks to me like it has about 22 pages. And it has lovely photographs that I believe you did all of them yourself, Julia. Is that not true?
That is true. Yes, right. They're my different altar creations.
And so Julia is a photographer of considerable skill. There are lovely, lovely photographs in this and some equally lovely text that goes with it. And this one can only be gotten from Julia directly. And so how do they do that, Jules?
Yeah, so you can just jump over to my website. I'll do two things here. So my website is Julia Harriet, HARRIET.com, JuliaHarriet.com. And that's where you can reach out to me. And each one of those books is actually a work of art. They're all originals in the sense that I add adornments to them that are unique to each book. And so that's special. I wanted to swing back, Joe, about Harriet. So Harriet
yes.
is actually my middle name, and that comes from my dad's mother. And so I figured she was a very creative woman. And I was like, oh, I'd love to use that as my pen name. And so that's why I went with Julia Harriet in honor of her as being an inspiration. And I think it's a beautiful classic name.
So there's one more book, and we only have 3 minutes to go, so
sure.
We gotta really hustle along here. There's a third book that is available only on Kindle, and I do not Kindle, Julia, as I do not Facebook, and I do not Twitter, and I do not do any of those things.
Understood.
So I am waiting for the hard copy of it. The title of this one is called Awaken Leaders. And the subtitle is Empowering Stories of Self-Healing, Triumph, and Transformation. And right now it's available on Amazon in only the Kindle format. And you have to fork over $7.97 to get it from Amazon. But the lovely Julia promises me that it is going to come out in hardcover or in print.
Yes.
And when it comes out in print, I'm going to go ahead and buy a copy, and I am then going to I'm going to get in touch with you, and we will touch fingertips, and you will write in it for me, because you have a piece. This is a book in which you made a contribution.
Exactly. Okay. Yes, it's an anthology.
All right.
Yes.
So three pieces of work that this. This lovely young lady has already put together. I haven't written a single book in my entire life. I'm under considerable pressure from a number of places to do it, but I already have a full dance card, and I've got lots to do before I can no longer do them, not to put too fine a point on it. So we've got time for me only to do my closing remarks. And Julia, it remains then for me to not only thank you for being here, but to look forward to the next time that we are able to do something together.
Thank you.
Give Maribel and Doc in particular a big hug from the captain. And I always, whenever I see you in some local around town, we always get big hugs all around. And I look forward to the next time we do that.
Oh, thank you so much.
So... it is my wish and my desire and my command from the captain's chair that a huge influx of orders go in for all of these books. But in particular, I am touched to the depths of your captain's black heart with Altars of Healing. That's just a lovely little book, and I hope that you are being asked to make many, many more of them. So this is your captain's chair. Captain, up in the captain's chair, as always, I am on station and watching properly. And we never say goodbye. We say, until we meet again, those of you who are responsible for other people, watch their six, take good care of them. Those of you who are on the binnacle list, you know what my wishes are there, that you do what you're supposed to do so that next week, we're not from the captain's chair next week. Next week is Give Big, and I will be talking about a number of Island Do Goods And that'll be everybody, all of Captain Joe's people's opportunity to also help support the Voice of Vashon so that we continue for me to climb up in the captain's chair every week. Everybody take care. God bless.